Afternoon, everyone. So today we're going to be talking about enterprise mode as a deep dive, giving you some updates on enterprise mode, walking you through the functionality. I'm Fred Pullen on the product marketing team. With me is Josh Rennert in engineering.
Hello.
We're kind of the IT pro and the developer side of the equation. So hopefully most of the questions you field, either we can answer or you can answer. Because when I first got up on stage 2.5 years ago or so and presented enterprise mode to the audience at Microsoft Build, no one had heard of enterprise mode, and I was the only one in the room with my engineering counterpart who knew anything about it. Now there's a lot of experience in the room. How many of you are using enterprise mode now? Yeah, most of you. So we have a lot of experience in the room, and I don't get to do this every day. So you may have more experience in some of these aspects than I do. Please, let's keep this interactive. If you have best practices or tips and tricks that you'd like to share with the audience, let's absolutely do so. Let's make this a learning experience for all of us. So the way we've framed up today's conversation is really in the phases of a browser deployment project. Now, you ask 10 different consultants, you'll probably get 10 different answers for the best way to implement a project. But this is just, you know, at a broad stroke. Generally, there's a phase where you do some consideration or evaluation of various products, see what the technical truth is, see what the reality is. Then you do some planning and evaluation. You kind of assess your environment, you make sure you have resources lined up, and so on. Testing and remediation. How do you actually test your applications? How do you make sure that you fix the applications? Better yet, put them in enterprise mode and not have to touch a line of code on the site itself. And then deploying and managing your solution. So the focus of today's talk is really on the middle two. We're going to be focusing on planning and evaluation and testing and remediation. But we did want to give you some additional resources in each of these sections. So hopefully this will be a useful presentation that you'll refer back to some of the slides in the future. In the first section, in consideration, what we wanted to present here was the technical truths, our support lifecycle for the browser, why Internet Explorer 11 has great backward compatibility, and really give you some additional information on Microsoft Edge. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I want to get into demo, and we have a lot of demos planned for you. I think it's worth kind of covering at a high level what we're all talking about, so we're using the same language. Microsoft browsers and operating systems. I know many of you have lived and breathed this slide, or your own version of this slide. On Windows XP, we supported IE 6, 7, and 8. On Windows Vista, we supported IE 7, 8, and 9. On Windows 7, we supported, past tense, IE 8, 9, 10, and 11. Now, the catch was, obviously, you can only run one version of Internet Explorer at a time. So which version would you standardize on? And what we found, of course, in the past, when you were migrating from Windows XP up to Windows 7, IE 8 was kind of a sweet spot. Because if you got to Internet Explorer 8, you didn't have to move from IE 8 when you moved to Windows 7. So of course, many customers standardized on IE 8 in the distant past. Not so distant past, I should say. On Windows 7, likewise, we support IE 11, and we will support IE 11 for the life of Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. And I'll get into more reasons about why that's a good idea and why we chose to support IE 11 on Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. But the good news is, if you've upgraded and done the work to upgrade to IE 11 on Windows 7, or if you're planning that work now, it's absolutely worthwhile because essentially you're doing part of your Windows 10 migration ahead of time. Obviously on Windows 10 we have Microsoft Edge, and I'll share just a little bit about Microsoft Edge in this session. We covered Microsoft Edge in a lot of detail in a session Tuesday that was recorded. And by the way, we are sharing these slides with you, so these will be available for download. I did see a comment today that the slides weren't available yet for Microsoft Edge overview, so I'll check on that for you as well. Now, what's currently supported? In August of 2014, we announced that effective January 12, 2016, only the most recent version of Internet Explorer would be supported on a supported platform. Put differently, we went from a very fragmented ecosystem with on Windows 7 supporting IE8, IE9, IE10, and IE11 to just supporting IE11. Now, how many of you have successfully upgraded to IE11 on your Windows 7 machines? Hopefully most of you. Good, good. I know that some of you are still having challenges, and there may be some older devices that you need still to upgrade. So a lot of what we're going to present today is still relevant for you. The scenario we're really focused on here, though, is say you've already done the work to upgrade to IE11 on Windows 7. How does that help ease your migration to Windows 10? How can you set up Windows 10 with Microsoft Edge as your default browser and use the enterprise mode site list that you've already worked so hard to create to make it a much safer, faster, more productive browsing experience and fall back to IE11 just for those sites that need it? So we'll be covering a little bit of both, but that's really the scenario I'm focused on is, great, we've done this work on Windows 7, and I do have a Windows 7 VM that we'll go through, but how do you take those learnings that we got from Windows 7 and apply them to Windows 10? Now, on Windows 10, we have two browsers. We have Microsoft Edge and Internet Explorer 11. Internet Explorer 11 will be supported, as I said a moment ago, for the life of Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. And we wanted to do that to help ease your migration and to make sure that your web applications would still work on Windows 10. But let's make it very clear. Internet Explorer 11 is the last major version of Internet Explorer. It only receives security updates, technical support, and minor backward compatibility fixes where it makes sense to do so. All of our engineering focus is really on Microsoft Edge. Microsoft Edge is the future of browsing for Microsoft. There are a lot of good reasons why Microsoft Edge is safer, faster, and more productive. This isn't a marketing session, so I'll spare you, but I do have a gift for you. And if you go to aka.ms/edge infographic, again, aka.ms/edge infographic, you'll be able to download a survey that Forrester did. We commissioned Forrester Consulting to go talk to real live IT pros like yourself who had implemented Microsoft Edge in 500 or more seats. So they got 168 IT pros. We didn't give them any lists. They found those customers on their own. But they found 168 IT pros in the US, UK, Germany, and Japan who had implemented Microsoft Edge on, in some cases, 100,000 seats and more. And what they found was the very positive experience around Microsoft Edge. Now, if you tried Edge a year ago, I understand that you may have mixed emotions about this. But the good news is a year in internet terms is a really long time. In the last year, we've had three major updates for Microsoft Edge and a number of minor updates. So our message to customers is that Microsoft Edge on Windows 10 is a much safer, faster, more productive browser experience, and it's just going to keep getting better over time. We do support IE11, though, for that backward compatibility. Ideally, the experience on Windows 10 could be something like this, where you use Microsoft Edge as your default browser for a safer, faster experience. When a user encounters a site that uses Internet Explorer, or requires Internet Explorer, I should say, it will fall back to Internet Explorer automatically using that enterprise mode site list. One of the improvements we've made in the Windows 10 anniversary update is there's no interstitial page. Round of applause. I was really happy about that, yeah. So today, or I should say before the Windows 10 anniversary update, the experience was if you were using Microsoft Edge, and then you hit a page that was on your enterprise mode site list, it would switch you automatically to Internet Explorer 11, but it was also put up a convenient message to the end user saying your administrator has configured this page to run in Internet Explorer. At the end of a long, hard day, you had 30 or 40 of those tabs open. So the default behavior now is no interstitial page, no warning tab. There is a group policy if you liked that page. In some cases, I was told by customers that they liked shaming the app owners a little bit. So if you like that page, you can bring it back through group policy, but most people didn't like the page, so it's gone. Now, the other experience that we brought in the Windows 10 anniversary update, the other group policy that I'm really excited about, is restricting Internet Explorer just to the sites that are on your enterprise mode site list. In other words, you're using Edge as your default browser, safer, faster browsing. Fall back to IE11 automatically for a site that's on your enterprise mode site list. And then if a user goes anyplace else, it gets them right back into Microsoft Edge. This essentially is least privileged browsing, because we want to make sure that we're in a safer browser by default, and we switch to the more compatible, less secure browser just for the sites that you've approved. So just for those sites that are on the whitelist. And that's what I'm going to be showing you towards the end of the demo, is how you can set those group policies and how you can set up that environment. But first, a history lesson. Now, Internet Explorer shipped over 20 years ago. I know that made some of us feel really old, but Internet Explorer has been around for a long time. And I think to explain our backward compatibility story in IE11, I really had to go back a little ways. Now, I was a Microsoft customer and partner myself until 2003. I was an IT pro for about 15 years before joining Microsoft as a technical evangelist. So I had to deal with this issue just as some of you did. Internet Explorer 5 shipped in 1999, and it included IE5 dock mode. Now, this is a simplification. My developer friends tell me, no, it's a more complicated picture than that. I'm really just trying to explain this in a context of IE11 backward compatibility. So it is a bit of a simplified picture. In IE7, introduced in 2006, so 7 years later, 8 years later, we had IE7 dock mode, but we also realized, wow, that's a lot of years that people have been developing line of business applications using IE5 and then IE6. So we need to support those customers. And we created what we called at the time Quirks mode, or IE5. Really, developers say it's closer to IE5.5 dock mode. But this Quirks mode was available for backward compatibility. And here's the default behavior, and this is pretty important because I don't think everybody understands this, at least I didn't. The default behavior is to fall back to IE5 Quirks mode if there's not a valid doc type on the page. So if the page itself doesn't have a doc type, doc types, you know, came into the intervening years between 1999 and 2006. So if there's not a doc type on the page, the default behavior of Internet Explorer is to fall back to IE5 Quirks mode. This is important to understand because it's true today. It's still true. So as we move forward, and we offered IE8, of course, IE8 came out in 2009, so that's 3 more years of IE7 that was available for customers to develop web applications. And a lot, I should mention, a lot of these web applications use ActiveX controls, they use Java, they started using Silverlight. This was a way of giving web applications the power of the PC because the web standards weren't really all that sophisticated. So in order to give these web apps the power of the PC, we needed binary extensions. We needed things like Java. We needed Silverlight and ActiveX controls. But you know as well as I do where that story ends, because today's modern standards, HTML5, CSS3, WebGL, are pretty sophisticated. You can do a lot of things with today's standards, and those binary extensions ended up being a huge security problem. So we have this conundrum of how do we support all of these applications that were written over years and years for Internet Explorer, but at the same time support modern standards, and that's why we have two browsers in Windows 10. We have Microsoft Edge for today's websites and services and for tomorrow's websites and services. And we have Internet Explorer 11 to support 20 years of legacy Internet Explorer, including ActiveX, WebGLs, and so on. So in Internet Explorer 8, we ended up with 3 modes, as you see here. And we introduced something called Compatibility View. Now, this is one of the most confusing features ever. I have people come up to me constantly saying, tell me more about Enterprise View or Compatibility Mode or that Compatibility Enterprise Mode thing. Compatibility View is actually pretty simple. Compatibility View was a way of saying, look, in 2009, there were 10 years of applications that we had to support in Internet Explorer 8. And so those 10 years of applications ran in Compatibility View. And so at the time, we made Compatibility View essentially a switch. If there's a valid doc type, give me IE7 doc mode. If there's not a valid doc type, give me IE5 doc mode, fall back to Quirks mode. But it's going to give me one of those two modes. Now, how do you enable it? It's a much more complicated story. You can enable this because on the compatibility view settings dialog, you'll see a setting that says display intranet sites in compatibility view. We knew in 2009 from talking with you, our customer base, that you had hundreds and thousands of applications that were written using IE5 or IE7 standards. So we had to figure out how do we make the internet work, but still support your legacy line of business applications. And so the defaults in Internet Explorer 8 at the time, and in 9, and in 10, and I'm sad to say today in IE11, is to enable intranet sites in compatibility view by default. Because we know that you still had a lot of legacy line of business applications that used that older compatibility view. Now, of course, the page itself can ask for it. The page itself can ask for a specific document mode using the XUA compatible meta tag. Sometimes the page may be hard-coded to ask for IE7, even though it works fine in IE11. So that's sometimes an issue. The good news is enterprise mode overrides whatever the page itself is asking for, so that was good news for us IT pros. We could essentially override what the developer had requested if we know that it works. There were also a couple of group policies, but the group policies were very limited. We had used policy list of Internet Explorer 7 sites. We had used policy list of Quirks mode sites. The bad news about these policies, and you had to put the domain into the policy itself, but it worked at a domain level. So if you added Microsoft.com into compatibility view by adding it to the IE7 list, everything on Microsoft.com was put into compatibility view. And so customers said, this is crazy. I don't have a separate server or a separate domain name for, or even a short name on my intranet for every single application that I have. If we upgrade part of an application or upgrade a different application being hosted on the same server, these group policies fall apart. We also had ways that the users could step on themselves. The compatibility view settings or the button on the taskbar. Many of you asked us over the years, please remove that compatibility view button right on the address bar because my users are fat fingering it, and once they put Facebook or some other site into compatibility view, that drives a help desk support call. So, you know, a lot of you told us that it was a significant driver. We took it off of that address bar. And then finally, enterprise mode. And I'll talk more about enterprise mode in a second. So that's the story of compatibility view. In IE9, obviously, we have IE5, 7, 8, 9. We keep adding to it in IE10, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. And in IE11, we had all of these document modes available. And we said to you, wow, we have great backward compatibility, don't we? And you said, no, we have apps that don't work in IE11. So we started drilling into it. And the funny thing was, we had already gotten ready to ship Internet Explorer 11 when we knew that we had this backward compatibility problem. So enterprise mode was something we added in April 2014 after Internet Explorer 11 had shipped because it was something that we tested with a lot of you. Now, we did a pilot with 90 customers. Anybody part of the enterprise mode pilot a couple years ago? Maybe a couple hands. We did a pilot with you, and our pilot customers, I was asked to go find 30 customers. We had to cut off the pilot at 90 because this was such a big issue for some of you. And what you told us was putting a site in one of these older document modes doesn't work for a number of reasons. One is sometimes the site itself will ask for the wrong mode, and we have to go find the developer or hire a developer, or maybe it's a third-party site that I can't even directly influence. I have to ask somebody else to do something. You also told us that the user agent string, that the browser tells the server, hey, I'm IE8, or hey, I'm IE9, that user agent string wasn't really the same as the IE8 user agent string. So a lot of applications that were hard-coded to look for that IE8 user agent string didn't work. We also were told that ActiveX controls failed. There were lots of ActiveX controls out there that queried the browser and said, hey, what browser are you? And if they got back an answer they didn't expect, they would die silently. Because, you know, why would you give an error warning? Yeah, so there were a number of different issues. We even had customers in Japan, China, and Korea say vertical language support doesn't quite work in Internet Explorer 11 the same as it did in IE8. Even using IE8 doc mode in IE11, they would print out two pages, hold them up to the light, and say, this actuarial table column is off. And the bad news is, if it's off, that means that the numbers are different. So we can't use Internet Explorer 11 until you fix this stuff. So that's why we offered Enterprise Mode. Enterprise Mode is higher fidelity emulation for Internet Explorer 8. And this is a very subtle point that's lost on a lot of folks, but Internet Explorer 8 Enterprise Mode, or IE8 Enterprise Mode, is higher fidelity emulation for IE8 specifically. IE7 Enterprise Mode is essentially IE8 Enterprise Mode in compatibility view. Because remember, we still have that default behavior of falling back to IE5 if there's not a valid doc type. So if you use, and by the way, I should mention, IE7 doc mode, the one on the top there, right here, IE7 doc mode, I'll do it on both sides, let's see if this reaches. I can't see it. IE7 doc mode is essentially the same as compatibility view, because all of these doc modes will fall back to IE5 if there's not a valid doc type on the page. But the good news is, with Enterprise Mode, you now have this much richer, better emulation for older versions of Internet Explorer. Chris Jackson, in his session, yesterday, said he could count on one or two hands the number of applications that didn't work right with Enterprise Mode. So it's not perfect, but it was pretty good. Now, how do you enable it? And we'll be going through this in a lot of detail. You enable it through group policy, MDM, registry key, that points you to your list of Enterprise Mode sites or web paths. You know, remember, you can get really granular with this. So we now have the ability to define Microsoft.com/old app versus Microsoft.com/new app. And you can get very granular. We also support port numbers now. So very granular, and we've improved the support over time. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Josh to talk about planning and evaluation. What I just covered, I tried to give you a sense of the capabilities of Internet Explorer 11 and the backward compatibility, and we'll show you in a demo in a little bit about how those capabilities are used. But the next step is generally plan and evaluation. So, Josh?
Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Great. So, a lot of information there. Hope everyone paid attention, because pop quiz at the end of class. So the next step here is for planning and evaluation. Essentially, there are 20 years of legacy modes, document modes, enterprise modes that you could potentially have your website best run in. So how do you determine that? So we understand that for a lot of companies, whether you're small or large, your site list will vary in size. So there are a number of ways that you can determine which configuration to use and what's the most efficient way to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to run through a few options that you have today to collect the data and easily determine which configurations to use, and then we'll show you how to actually implement those so it automatically happens and provides the best user experience for your users. So we're going to outline three evaluation tools. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and run through the pros and cons, and I'll tell you why you should use one over the other. So the first one is F12 Developer Tools. How many of you are web devs? Okay, so if you're a web dev, you're probably familiar with F12 Developer Tools. It's pretty popular on modern browsers today, and it's available in Microsoft Edge and Internet Explorer 11 today as well. So what you can do with F12 Developer Tools is you can actually see what document mode, what browser profile, what user agent string the browser is actually using to render that website. And then with that, you can manually try and you can titrate and experiment with the different configurations that you want to use. Now, this may require some user training, so you have to kind of understand basically what Fred just went off on for 20 minutes. And then with a little configuration, you can get it to work as well. So this is a very manual approach, and this is something if you want to do something very quickly, you want to quickly check one site, this is a very simple and easy way to do that's built right off the box. So the second is a tool that we introduced a few years ago called the Enterprise Site Discovery Toolkit. Now, as I mentioned before, the F12 Developer Tools is great for a one-off situation. However, for a more scalable approach, if you have hundreds, if not thousands, of sites that are being used in your enterprise today, internal LOB applications, this isn't very feasible, even for a team of people. So what we can do is we provided a toolkit that allows you to automatically show which web applications are being used in your current environment, and then which configurations your users are using those web applications in. And this requires no user training right off the bat. It requires little configuration to actually set up. But once that happens, it runs behind the scenes and automatically collects the data as needed. And we'll be going into a lot of detail into all these in a second. And clicker doesn't want to work.
It takes a long time.
I've clicked it 4 times. Hopefully it, there you go. Great. Thank you for bearing with me. Upgrade Analytics. So this is a very recent solution that we actually just announced a few months ago as a part of the Operations Management Suite. So for those who are unfamiliar with OMS, as it's dubbed, this is it's a collection of services that allow you to better manage your enterprise's on-prem and cloud environments. And as a part of the Upgrade Analytics, we've introduced an optional component called the Site Discovery component. And as you can guess, it provides the exact same information that is provided as a part of the Site Discovery Toolkit, but it is, as a bonus, you get it for free as a part of this OMS Azure solution. So as you can see here, it's based off of the Enterprise Site Discovery. You get that same data with no user training as well. With the initial configuration just to turn it on, you get all this behind the scenes, and we automatically filter the collection of data. And I mentioned filter because obviously since it is a cloud solution, there are privacy concerns, and we make sure we take the necessary steps to filter out and anonymize the data. And I'll get to that in a second. So let's first talk about F12 developer tools. For those unfamiliar with F12 developer tools, as I said, this is available in Edge and IE11 today. It's also available on more recent versions of Internet Explorer. And if you're unaware of where this is in your browser today, you can right-click on a website, inspect an element. You could go to the top gear icon in the top right corner, and you can select F12 developer tools. And indeed, you can just press F12. So there are a bunch of things you can do with this tool. You can manipulate the DOM, you can debug your network, you can debug performance and memory. However, the component we're interested in here is the emulation tab at the very end. So as I mentioned, the F12 developer tools can show you which particular modes and which particular UA strings are being provided. So as you can see, we're running this page in document mode 7 by default. The browser profile is a desktop, and the browser is telling the website that I am Internet Explorer 11. And you can make a bunch of inferences with this information, for instance, why you're getting that document mode. For instance, it might be the website might be using an XUA-compatible meta tag in the HTML markup. And Fred's going to go into so much detail, so I won't harp on this too much. But you can play around with this tool, and you can try and figure out what is the best setting or why your website isn't working. This is a very powerful tool right out of the box with IE11. Went too far. Okay, so next is Enterprise Site Discovery. This is the more scalable option, obviously, because this runs automatically behind the scenes. So I'll kind of quickly explain how this happens. So what you'll do is you'll identify a sample size or a set of devices in which you want to collect this data. Now we understand for some people you might have a small company, so maybe you're going to sample from your entire company. However, for larger companies, that doesn't really make sense. That's a lot of information to pass through the network, or it's a lot of information to parse through. So you can identify a small set of users. So once you've identified that sample pool, and you've set up the configuration behind the scenes on each of their devices, what happens is for the user would browse the internet as normal. They'd use their web applications as they normally would. And then we would track all the information that's necessary to analyze and to figure out what is the best configuration for those sites. Now, if you browse the internet as much as I do, especially during work hours, you can imagine how much noise that would generate, not only from the internet, but also the internet. You're going to get Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, Spotify, whatever that may be. So we want a way to scope that, and we're going to provide you with an option to do so. So you can scope based off of a domain allow list. You can deterministically explicitly set which sites you want to get information from, or you can use an entire zone. Perhaps you just want to pay attention to your internet. So once you have that scoped information, we provide it in a WMI or XML format on each of the devices, and then we aggregate that data into one big lump, and you get this beautiful data-driven picture of your enterprise web environment. So this toolkit is supported from IE8 through IE11 today. It is disabled by default. This is an opt-in program, and we do encourage to inform your users that you're actually tracking their usage patterns. I don't think they'd like it if you did that behind the scenes. And then you can manage the different settings that I just mentioned through group policy, and I believe there's also a PowerShell configuration as well. So let's talk a bit about what data we're actually collecting. So as I mentioned, it's supported through IE8 through IE11. And indeed, if you use IE 10 or 11, you'll get the full list listed in the left column. However, IE 8 and IE 9 don't get a couple, and they're listed there. But you're getting data points such as the URL or domain that's being visited. You get the ActiveX GUID, which controls are being used or loaded in that page, the document mode and the reason why it's in that document mode or the browser state. And then you get some health data, hang count, crash count, navigation errors, and you also get some usage data as well, so number of visits and zone. And so what we can do is we can actually make some inferences based off of this information. For instance, ActiveX GUIDs, those controls are obviously not supported in modern browsers today like Microsoft Edge, so perhaps you want more investment in, you would prioritize those over other websites. Indeed, you could also look at number of visits to see which one is the most popular in an organization, and then performance and so on and so forth.
I was going to mention, too, you know, the IT pro voice of your presenter team here. You may be sitting there thinking, okay, we've already finished our upgrade to IE11. This isn't really relevant for me. It still may be. Because on Windows 10, you have the ability to turn this on for IE11 and collect information, for example, about what ActiveX controls are being instantiated. So it will help you create a more data-driven picture of your network and figure out, okay, we've successfully moved up to IE11. We may even have successfully moved up to Windows 10. And we may be using Microsoft Edge as our default browser and falling back to Internet Explorer 11 just for those sites that need it. But which sites, and how quickly can we move off of that? When we first started presenting this information, we had customers telling us that they didn't know how many versions of JRE that they had, of the Java Runtime Engine. And then some of them came back to us a little bit surprised after running this and said, it turns out I have 12 versions of JRE in my environment, or 10, or 8, or 5. And so this may help you, even if you've successfully moved to Windows 10, you're using Edge, you're falling back to IE11, you're using your enterprise mode site list, all of what Josh is talking about is still really, really relevant for you.
Yep. And so this is a lot of information. You can imagine that if you navigate to a lot of sites, this is going to aggregate, and it's going to be a little overwhelming. Indeed, when you use this toolkit, it's up to you to kind of parse the data and make the inferences on your own, whether you're querying the data through SQL, put in a SQL table, put in an Excel sheet for all you care. But it is up to you to kind of create these views. Now, we've received some feedback that once I get this data, I have no idea what to do with it. Yes, you can make some inferences, but ultimately it's a huge dump. It's going to be a lot of work. You don't want to deal with trying to parse through all that. So we have an answer for that. So Upgrade Analytics. This is the new solution, as I mentioned, as part of OMS. And the charter of this Upgrade Analytics solution is helping you upgrade from Windows 7 to Windows 10. And one of the main blockers to Windows 10 migrations are web app compatibility. So naturally, this is why we included the site discovery as a component of the Upgrade Analytics solution. So as you can see here, and as I mentioned before, all the data that you get from the Enterprise Site Discovery Toolkit, you will also get as a part of the site discovery component of Upgrade Analytics. However, as a value add to add to that, you also get these nice, beautiful views. You can drill into the data. You can see what are the most active sites. You can see the document modes that are being used the most, which sites are using enterprise mode, which are not. And you can also create your own queries and create your own views. What they call blades are the vertical columns. Most active sites is one blade. So this is a very easy and powerful tool. So I encourage you to, after the session, to look into it more, because I think it's a very powerful tool to help you and simply get a better idea of what is the extent of your inventory of web applications for your enterprise. Yes?
Do you import that data into the tool? Is that how you get the information in there, by importing
it? Through telemetry events.
Yeah, the tool automatically gets it just as Enterprise Site Discovery. Think of Enterprise Site Discovery as the hooks in the browser. And what you do with that data using those hooks could be a number of different things. We've had some customers tell us they created custom solutions using Enterprise Site Discovery and pulling the data from WMI into their own custom solution. But this is another way of using that data. All right, let's talk about testing and remediation. How do you actually test and fix these web applications? Now, until Internet Explorer 11 with enterprise mode, the answer was often go and fix the website. And that was bad news for folks like myself who don't know how to fix a website. I had to get on the phone and start calling people or figure out who owned the website. Okay, that person left the company 6 years ago. Let's find out who else might be able to fix it. The good news is enterprise mode can help you fix these websites without changing a single line of code on the site. Now, Josh mentioned using the F12 developer tools to test a site. I'll show you that in a second, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Some of the slides I put in here so that you can use as a reference later. But suffice to say, try the document modes in decreasing order, 11, 10, 9. I'll show you this in a second. If all those fail, switch your browser profile to enterprise. And if you don't see enterprise show up, it's probably because enterprise mode isn't enabled on that machine. You do need to enable enterprise mode to be able to see this or see it from the tools menu. And then finally, when you switch to that enterprise mode browser profile, you'll see the document mode list shrinks, and it acts more like IE8. IE8, of course, has IE8 doc mode, IE7, and IE5, so that's what we provide you. All right, once you know which applications or which web paths, which sites need to be put into which mode, getting them to work with enterprise mode means adding them to this enterprise mode site list. Now, there is a schema that we've published. We're on the second version of the schema that's a little bit easier to read than the first version. The second version of the schema is available now on Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. It's supported by IE11 on all those versions. And there's a new version of the enterprise mode site list manager tool that can help you create essentially error-free XML. It's an easy way to kind of vet that XML. There are customers who have created their own solutions, and Josh will talk a little bit later about some of the limitations and maybe some of where we're looking to go in the future with being able to manage this list a little bit better. And how do you implement it? I'll show you all of this, but you can use group policy, registry key. I also gave you some tips and tricks, but I know you don't want to read this slide. Let's dive into a demo. I always like to explain my demo environment, so you know, no smoke or mirrors up here. I'm running my own Surface Book with Windows 10 Enterprise, and on Windows 10, I'm running a Hyper-V, and I have two machines set up. I have a Windows 7 VM and a Windows 10 VM, and I also have them set not only to talk to the external network and get to the internet, but I also added a second NIC that's essentially an internal network. So the way I have this set, and it's a subtle distinction, but my own host machine is acting as a server, and I'm able to use one enterprise mode site list and host it on my server that both machines are able to pull. So I wanted to just make it easier for you to understand how my configuration is going here. All right, so in Windows 7, and by the way, I just installed Windows 7 a couple days ago. I was a little worried a minute ago because I was looking at my CPU, and Windows 7 was pegging my CPU. So I think I got all the updates, but hopefully Windows 7 won't do anything wonky on us here. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. All right, so let's go to our application here, and I'm going to go to server/PO. This is demoware. You know, it is a real application that uses CSS expressions and some other tools, but it is created just for the purpose of demos like this. So in this case, I see that the application doesn't work. Now, I'm in IE11 on Windows 7, and in IE11 on Windows 7, all the buttons are showing up in the upper left-hand corner. This is a problem. My users are calling saying, hey, this doesn't work. We can't upgrade to IE11 quite yet. So I'm going to hit F12. This is where I need my glasses. Oh, there, it's that one. All right, so F12 developer tools, and I can keep it pinned or I can undock it, but right now, and this is tricky, but this is the fast class here. For years, we called Edge the latest document mode in whatever browser it was. So in IE8, if you were in IE8 document mode, in the F12 developer tools, we called that Edge because it was the leading edge. It was the latest document mode. This is not the Edge browser. It has nothing to do with the Edge browser. It's a little confusing. But this Edge default means IE11 doc mode. Okay, so it doesn't work in IE11 doc mode. Let's try IE10 doc mode. Still doesn't work. IE9 doc mode, and it's telling us right here, oh, you got to IE9 via the F12 developer toolbar. Okay, just in case we were wondering what we just did. IE8, buttons still don't work. IE7, we're getting pretty far back now. You can see the website's changing shape a little bit as we, you know, support other standards. Okay, still not working. So what's our next step? Anybody remember? Enterprise mode, yeah. We can switch the browser profile to enterprise. Now, in this case, I happen to know, because I helped write this, you know, I helped write this site, it does use a feature called CSS expressions. CSS expressions is not a W3C standard. So this is not a current web standard. This is something that Microsoft used years and years ago to put things in a static location on the page. And the web went in a different direction. It became a proprietary standard. We took it out of the product. This is something we bring back in enterprise mode. So enterprise mode turns on this functionality. So let's go ahead and use enterprise mode. I have desktop, Windows Phone, and yeah, I don't have enterprise mode there. So I told you we would show you an end-to-end demo here. Let's go ahead and enable enterprise mode. And yes, it was by intent. All right, so in this case, I'm just running a local machine. It's not domain joined, but I'm showing you the same principles. We could use a reg key, and I'll show you the reg keys. We can also use the group policy. And I'm going to dive into the group policy here. And we're going to go down to administrative templates. I'm on the computer side, but you could use the user side. Windows components, Internet Explorer, and sorry, let's switch views a little bit to get a little more real estate. Okay, there we go. If I scroll down here, I see a couple of enterprise mode related things. I have let users turn on and use enterprise mode from the tools menu. I also have use the enterprise mode, i.e. website list. We're not quite there yet, but we'll get to it. So right now, actually, I disabled that. I thought I didn't configure it, but I actually physically disabled it. That's okay. We'll enable it in a minute. All right, in this case, I'm going to go ahead and enable this feature. Now, all you need to do is enable. We used to have a feature that we recommended to customers that would post to a location of your choosing whenever someone turned on or off enterprise mode from the tools menu. We added this feature because we were hoping that enterprise mode was going to be an easy button. We were hoping that you'd be able to just turn on enterprise mode and everything would miraculously work. And of course, we don't live in that world. So we don't recommend using this. Instead, we recommend the tools that Josh suggested, enterprise site discovery and other things. This will give you very limited information about you know, who's turning it on, who's turning it off. We don't suggest that end users turn it on themselves. So all I need to do is enable it in this case. And then, and I can almost see my OK button. There it is. OK, so it's enabled. And now, anybody want to suggest what I do next? How about GP update force or something, or log off, or, you know. All right, and then we'll go ahead and close Internet Explorer. All right, wait for the policies to refresh. Open up Internet Explorer. Now, of course, there's a bunch of ways I can figure out if this actually worked. One is I can hit F12, and hopefully I've got an enterprise thing on the menu there. Another way is let's go ahead and look at the reg keys, because I promised to show you everything. All right, so in regedit, I'm in HKLM. And this is tricky because it's software policies, Microsoft, and this is all on the slide that I showed you briefly. Let me make this full screen here. Microsoft, Internet Explorer, main, enterprise mode. And now you see there's an enable key. That key wasn't there a second ago. Because we turned on the group policy, the enable key is there. You can turn it on through reg key, just create the key yourself, poke it. Or you can, you know, use the group policy. Either way, doesn't matter. All right, let's go to our website. So it was server PO. We're still troubleshooting this thing. Okay, desktop doesn't work. Switch to enterprise. Enterprise. Bingo. Now, you'll notice it says document mode 5. Anybody want to guess why it, when I went to enterprise, it automatically took us to document mode 5? There's no doc type on the page. There's no doc type on the page. I started creating websites using Vi or Notepad, so you can forgive me for not using modern standards. But yeah, there's no. I mean, we're using IE5 document mode, just like thousands and thousands of web applications out there. And now I know which document mode I need to use. Which one would you suggest using? Actually, I could use one of two. Anybody want to suggest one? IE8 enterprise mode or IE7 enterprise mode, because either of those is going to fall back to IE5 because we don't have a doc type on the page. This also gives me another thing to mark somewhere to say, hey, we got a really old website out there that at some point we need to update. But now we know how to fix it. All right, so now let's go ahead. We know which browser document mode works. Now let's go to our enterprise mode site list. And I promised some tips and tricks here. This is not one that I necessarily recommend. No, this is my host machine that I'm pulling up the Enterprise Mode Site List Manager on. And I'm right-clicking and running as administrator. And I'll explain why in a second. Don't do this at home. I'm just making our demo a little bit easier. OK, so server PO is the, actually, let's go ahead and delete that one and just start it from scratch. I'm going to add, so we can say server/PO. We're going to just add that specific line. We could have added just server, and it'll do everything on the site, or server PO. We also tell it which of these document modes to use. Do we let it choose whatever it wants, and we're only using this so that it'll force it to open in Microsoft Edge or in IE11? Or are we going to force a document mode? And I think we should force IE8 doc mode is fine in IE11. OK. So we have this. It should work. It's going to always open in IE11 on Windows 10. Obviously, that flag is only relevant for Windows 10. On Windows 10, you can hard code which browser opens up which web path or which site. There's also some reg keys I'll show you or some domain group policies later that I'll show you. OK, now I'm going to save to XML. And this is why I wanted to cheat a little bit and start this as an administrator, because I want to overwrite this file that's currently hosted by IIS, and I didn't want to have to, get the UAC prompts. So I'm just going to save it. Do you want to replace it? Yes. It worked, I hope. OK, it says version 7 over here. Version 7, one of the things the Enterprise Mode Site List Manager does is it automatically iterates versions. But be careful, because it's really designed for a single user, and it only does N plus 1. So it only does 7, 8, 9, 10. If the Enterprise Mode site list, the XML file, is different than the one that's locally cached on the machine, it's going to pull it down. It doesn't know if it's greater than or less than what I have locally cached. If it's different, it'll pull it down. And that might bite you. All right, so we saved it. It's version 7. Let's see if we can see the list. So we've saved it as sitelist.xml. OK, we can see the list, which is good news. I think I can exit that now. It says version 7, and this shows you the version 2 schema. So you can see immediately site URL server PO, compat mode enterprise, open in IE11. And we're using this new site tags in the XML, which makes it much easier to understand. It's also easier to extend. So down the road, we could add other functionality. Yes, sir. Enterprise mode was enabled. Anybody want to take a guess? Because I had F12 developer tools open, and we were using the enterprise mode desktop profile, or the enterprise mode browser profile. Yeah, so normally when I pull this up, it would just display it using the modern standard. All right. OK, so we can see the list, which is important for the client in terms of troubleshooting. Now let's go ahead and enable it. And to do that, let's see, Windows Fax and Scan. Don't need that. OK, let's go ahead and do the group policy again. gpedit.msc. I'm going to go down into my administrator templates. Let's make this full screen. Administrator, Windows Components, Internet Explorer. And let's get the standard view again so we can see a little bit better. Okay, now we want to enable the website list, and I want to point it to the location of the list. This is another best practice I wanted to share with you, and it's a tip on the previous slide. Use a URL and host it as a web page if you can. Because if you share the file or you try to push the file out, the machine, the local client, has to pull the entire file down before it can do a comparison. So if you're, maybe it doesn't make a difference if you've got 20 entries, but if you've got 2,000 entries, it has to pull down the file. Every time you start Internet Explorer, after 65 seconds, it's going to do a comparison with the currently cached version. And it'll pull down the entire file and do a comparison. If we're hosting it as a web page, it pulls down the header of the file, essentially the first couple K of that file, does a comparison, and if they're the same, it goes about its business. So it's much more efficient. You've told us, let me be clear about this, this is not something that I made up. You've told us that this is much more efficient. Okay, so let's add the URL here. Yes? Okay. We got feedback from the audience. They host it on a domain controller, pretty quick, doesn't take as long. Okay, thank you. And you can host it on DFS, you can host it locally. Hand back there, yes, sir. The question is about user agent strings. The catch with in a user agent string, to remind everybody, it's what the browser tells the website it is. The difficulty with changing user agent strings is it breaks the internet. Because if you make a subtle change, maybe that's okay. There were many customers and partners who said they wanted to change the user agent string for their environments. And that was fine for their environment, but as soon as they started hitting the web at large, it broke things. So the short answer to your question is, as far as I know, that isn't supported in the IEAK anymore, and it's not supported in the browser. Okay, so a particular site where changing the user agent string worked, let's talk about that offline, because we do have internally to Microsoft a compatibility view list that we host that also goes out and is pushed out to your devices. I was going to show you that a little bit later. So there may be a way we can work around that. Second question, yes, sir.
The new version of the Enterprise Manager Code, is that backwards compatible to Win 7 IP11?
Yes, the question is about the Enterprise Mode Site List Manager. A few months ago, we had essentially a version for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 that used the V1 schema, and we had a version for Windows 10 that used the V2 schema. Now we don't differentiate. We have a V1 schema tool and a V2 schema tool, and the V2 schema tool should work with Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. The only caveat, obviously, is you have to have taken the cumulative security update for Internet Explorer 11, I think as of July?
Yes. Yeah.
June. To be able to use that V2 schema. Now, it is backward compatible. Internet Explorer 11, even if you've taken the update for the V2 schema, you can keep using the older schema as long as you need to. But we do recommend upgrading to the V2 schema as soon as is practical. Yes? The question is, does it pull the file locally? And if so, where can I see it to verify it's the latest version? It does pull the file locally and stores it. It stores it in an obfuscated way. The easiest way you can confirm that you have it is /compat. And I'll show you that in a minute. We are adding to, if you don't mind me sharing,
sure.
We're adding to the about compat page the version number of the Enterprise Mode site list so you can immediately see without having to go and peek the registry. All right, let's go ahead and finish this because we do have a lot more to show you here. So server site list.xml, let me see if I can get to my OK button, all right? All right, and if we did this right, let's do another GP update force. Exit the browser. Updating policy. Once it's done, we should be able to start up Internet Explorer. It's going out, it's finding the site list, it's pulling it down. And ideally, by now, we should have HTTP server PO running in enterprise mode. You know, nothing up this sleeve, nothing up this sleeve. But yeah, it works. The stuff does work. And we can confirm that it pulled down the latest version of the list. We still have it on the screen, version 7. If I go into the registry, this is not going to be an HKLM. This is going to be an HKey current user. But if I go into current user, software, Microsoft, this one's going to be directly in Microsoft, not in policies, so it's a little tricky. Main, enterprise mode, current version 7. Now, I promised to show you some tips and tricks. I mentioned before, when you start up Internet Explorer, it'll wait for 65 seconds before checking to see if there's a different version of the enterprise mode site list out there. The reason it waits 65 seconds is we had some customers say, no, we have to wait for the connection. We have to wait for VPN or you know, dial-up in some cases. We want to make sure that it's connected to the right network resources before we check for that file. So based on customer feedback, we wait for 65 seconds. If you're troubleshooting and you don't want to wait for a minute every time you start up Internet Explorer for it to pull down the latest one, you can just delete this reg key. If you delete current version and you have enabled the site list, as soon as you start up Internet Explorer, it's going to pull down the latest version of the site list. So that's just a quick tip for you. I have a command line you know, PowerShell script that just single line that just goes and deletes this sometimes. Yeah. That's another good tip. So the gentleman said they've run into some problems. If you run into problems, you can reset internet options. And this is worth showing because if I go into internet options here and I go to delete, if this is still selected, preserve favorites website data, your mileage may vary, but what I've found is if I leave this selected, it'll keep my local enterprise mode site list. I have to deselect this and then clear out my temporary internet files and websites, cookies and website data. If I do that, then it's going to get rid of my locally cached file and force another refresh. That's good.
You should go to advanced and hit reset and it resets everything.
Oh, they go to advanced and reset everything. Okay, that's the heavy guns. Yeah, yes, sir, back in the back. Yeah, that's a great point. So the point is made that if you have a file that's reasonably small, you can push it out to the client itself, store it locally. That way you don't have to worry about network connectivity if it's stored locally. All right, let's keep going. So now we got the site to work properly in Windows 7 on IE11. Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to share with you, and that's another gotcha. We do have support for port numbers. So if we wanted to, we could add something like server port 8808, and tell it to run that port in a particular mode. But the gotcha is there seems to be a bug in the tool that you can't directly add port numbers in the tool yet. We're fixing that. But if it's something you run into, you can actually go and manually edit or edit the XML file and add the port number there. So we do support port numbers. I think if I click OK now, I don't know if it's going to let me. Yeah, it looks like it worked. I don't know if we fixed it, but there was a bug. Yeah. Oh, they did it 2 weeks ago. They were able to add port numbers. I still had a problem last night, but it might have been an older version of the tool. Okay. Yeah, so it's worth mentioning. If you do have a problem with port numbers, you can generally edit the XML directly and fix it that way. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. All right, everything I showed you so far is on Windows 7, but hopefully that's not where you live today. So let's go ahead and close this one. I'm going to bring up my Windows 10 VM. So this is a Windows 10 virtual machine, full screen, and Let's look at some things. So right now I have Edge set as the default browser, and I wanted to show you some tricks. One of the things was I can do show or about compat. This worked on Windows 7 as well, but I just like the full screen. So on Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows 8.1, using IE11 or Microsoft Edge, I can type about compat, and it's going to show me a couple things. It's going to show me my enterprise mode site list, and like I said before, we will be adding the version number here. It also shows me the Microsoft compatibility list. Now let's look at the Microsoft compatibility list and talk about that for a second. Over the years, public-facing websites have occasionally come to Microsoft and said, hey, we work best when put into IE7 doc mode, or IE5 doc mode, or IE8 doc mode, or IE9 doc mode. There are still some sites also that use ActiveX controls. There are still sites that use older web technologies. Now, you can see now the number of sites here is getting down there. 1695. I checked a couple weeks ago and it was around 1700, 1800. So we're decreasing the number almost on a daily basis. But the fact is, there are still many sites out there that use ActiveX for PKI. There are sites in Korea that up until recently, there was under general use, they used an ActiveX control for their public key infrastructure. There are sites in Brazil that use ActiveX controls. So there are still some public sites that require Internet Explorer, or they may require a specific mode of Internet Explorer, say an IE8 doc mode. We still recommend leaving the compatibility view list turned on. If you do encounter a site that's on this compatibility view list, users aren't automatically switched to Internet Explorer from Microsoft Edge. If they encounter the site in Internet Explorer, it'll just render using the right mode. If they encounter the site in Microsoft Edge, they get an interstitial page that says, this site works best with Internet Explorer, essentially. You know, it uses older technology. Do you want to launch Internet Explorer? The reason for that is we didn't want you to be using Microsoft Edge as your default browser for a much safer browser experience, and somebody comes along and writes a zero-day exploit for IE8, and then forces your browser to switch from Microsoft Edge over to IE11, and then run this ActiveX exploit or another type of exploit. So by intent, we don't automatically switch users. You can choose in your environment to disable the compatibility view list. Not something we recommend, but your mileage may vary. In your environment, it may make sense. All right, and then I can obviously just choose to look at my own enterprise mode site list and see what's there. And this is an easy way. We had a question earlier, how can I look at what is actually being used on my browser? This works in IE11, Windows 7, Windows 8.1, Windows 10. This works in Microsoft Edge. I can see exactly what is being used by my browser. All right, a couple other things I wanted to show you here, and that's if I go into, I'm going to go into my configuration gpedit.msc again. What? Okay. So I'm going down into administrative templates, Windows components, Microsoft Edge. And there are, today we have maybe 50 policies if you look at computer and user. In Internet Explorer, we had over 1,600 policies. Most of those are irrelevant for Microsoft Edge. All the policies that have to do with trusted site zone, have to do with unsigned ActiveX controls, signed ActiveX controls. Do you run 64-bit or 32-bit? Do you run with enhanced protected mode or not enhanced protected mode? Microsoft Edge is designed to be a secure browser. I talked a lot about this on Tuesday, so I'm not going to go into it now. But you don't need all those group policies that we used to have. Configure the enterprise mode site list. This is a policy specific for Microsoft Edge, so it has its own policy. And if I look at it, it's just pointed to the same place. Another best practice is to use the same list for both Microsoft Edge and Internet Explorer 11. Otherwise, it gets a little confusing. All right. Yeah, question?
Greg, I'll say Greg, I didn't know
Yep. Now let's look at Internet Explorer and go down our list here. You'll see I have the same policy enabled. You know, use the enterprise mode site list pointed to the same exact place. And I also have a new policy with the Windows 10 anniversary update. Send all sites not included in the enterprise mode site list to Microsoft Edge. This is the policy that limits the use of Internet Explorer just to those sites that you've approved. So let's see what that experience looks like. I've already got this enabled. Just to make sure, let's do regedit. We're using the right version, and we can confirm that, you know, here, current version 7. You know, so we really are using the same version of the enterprise mode site list that I updated a few seconds ago, so it's already taken the update, which is good. All right, now here's the experience from within Microsoft Edge. If I type in server PO, automatically starts in Internet Explorer 11, automatically runs in enterprise mode. We're good to go. Now, if I type in any other site at this point, if I want to go to, for example, Microsoft.com, it picks it up right in Microsoft Edge. This is least privileged browsing. We're always in a safer browser unless we've chosen to enable compatibility for that backward compatibility. All right, just a couple other things I wanted to show you briefly. I know we're running short on time, but just one or two other things I wanted to show you, and that's, okay, I have a site that I want to add to my favorites toolbar here. So I'm going to go into my favorites settings. I'm going to enable my favorites bar. And I need to do something with my favorites now to get them there. Let's go to my server PO site. Server PO, and let's add it as a favorite. Oh, wait. How do I add something as a favorite in Microsoft Edge when it automatically switches to Internet Explorer on me? I can't do it. There's a workaround that I wanted to show you, and we are working on the feature of keeping your favorites synchronized across IE11 and Microsoft Edge. So that was a top request from you, so I wanted to make sure we got it out there. We also are bringing better management of Microsoft Edge favorites to you, so you'll be able to manage these better. But in the meantime, I wanted to show you a trick. Won't work for your end users, will work for you. If we go to About Flags, I can disable the Enterprise Mode site list temporarily. And now I go to Server PO. It doesn't work, but I can add it as a favorite. And then once it's added as a favorite, I can copy it up to my favorites bar. And now, if I re-enable, let's go back to About Flags. Let's re-enable the Enterprise Mode site list. And if I've done everything right, I don't need to type it anymore. That's silly. Tap the button and I get to Internet Explorer. So yeah, when you have the ability to manage favorites, you'll have the ability to add them to the favorites bar. You'll have the ability to do lots of things. In the meantime, I wanted to be able to show you the experience and show you some workarounds.
And to be clear, for those who do not want their users mucking in About Flags and changing and turning off the Enterprise Mode site list, you can also turn off About Flags in Group Policy so they can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely, right.
Just a quick tip.
Yeah, I did want to bring that up as well. Thank you. And turn it back over to Josh.
Yeah. So the last step of our browser update process is deployment and management. And a lot of what we're about to cover, Fred has eloquently done with his demos. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about the browser updates on Windows 10, because this is one of the top questions we get. How is Microsoft Edge updated in Windows 10? How is Internet Explorer updated in Windows 10? Let's start with Internet Explorer 11. For those who are not aware, Internet Explorer 11 today is in maintenance mode, which means we're not making any major feature investments to Internet Explorer 11. However, we're making some minor security and compatibility updates as necessary. If you're familiar with the browser, you're aware that there are two, you can partition it into two components. You have the engine itself, which is the frame that renders the website, and then you have the application, which is the toolbars, the Chrome, and all the user features in the browser. So for the rendering engine in Internet Explorer 11, what we call MSHTML, it's updated through the Windows update mechanism, through WSUS, through WUB, and similarly, the application is also updated through that existing mechanism. However, for Microsoft Edge, which is our new modern browser, it's evergreen. We're always updating it with the latest and greatest features. We want to make sure that you can get those features a lot quicker while still maintaining this, this ability to allow you to test your sites before you, you take these updates. So the Edge HTML engine, which powers Microsoft Edge, also is updated through the existing Windows update mechanism through WSUS, through WUB. However, for the Edge application itself, all these user features, we are looking to add it or automatically update it through the Windows Store. And what this means is, if you really wanted favorite syncing, if you wanted better favorites management, you could actually get that a lot quicker. And so all of this is to allow you to confirm your compatibility with your critical web apps and before deploying. Yes?
Quick question. So this means my user can go ahead and update Edge application through the store without my permission.
Can you take that?
Yeah, the question is, will my user be able to update automatically through the store without my permission? Edge will ultimately be treated like any other universal Windows app. But when we talk about Microsoft Edge, we're talking about the navigation controls, the Cortana integration, things like that. We're not talking about website compatibility. And that's why we wanted to really land this point with this audience. The engine that controls Microsoft Edge, you control. You have the ability to do that. Now, when I say it's updated through the store, I don't mean that the user will necessarily be able to find it in the store and download it or do something with it. What we mean is it'll use the same automatic mechanism that the store uses. Let us know if you think it's important for some reason to be able to block the application itself from updating. Remember, this has nothing to do with web app compatibility. This is just having better Cortana integration, maybe better printing, better PDF viewing. Not better PDF viewing. Sorry, that's through the engine. So anything that's really a web application is controlled through the engine, which you control. So let us know after the session if this is important to you. I see a few other hands. There was somebody over here. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of details that we still need to determine. This is not coming in the next few weeks or months. This is coming eventually, and we do want to work with you to get your feedback on the best way to implement this. The biggest concern we hear about is how do we make sure that our applications continue to work? You still are firmly in the driver's seat there. But let's work with you in the coming weeks and months to figure out how do you want that store experience to be. This is the same, it has the same impact on things like the calculator. Do you want calculator to get its updates, or do you want to block those? So let's have a deeper discussion on the store at another point, but we just wanted to get that across for the sake of web app compat. You're in the driver's seat here.
One last tip. We recommend you do not disable the Edge engine, because even though it does have the name Edge in it, it not only powers Microsoft Edge, but it powers other components in the operating system today, such as Windows Store apps, rendering web content, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So just a quick tip. And we're running out of time, so I'm going to quickly rush through these here. So Fred already went in great depth about the Enterprise Mode Siteless Manager. For all intents and purposes, it is a glorified XML editor. It's a very simple application if you have a reasonable size site list, and it has some basic error checking and simple M+1 versioning. However, there are a few disadvantages to this tool. For instance, it's designed for a single user. So if you have multiple users, there's the possibility to overlap or the possibility to make mistakes and shoot yourself in the foot. Similarly, it's not scalable. There are also some performance concerns if you have a relatively large site list. I've had some customers come to me with site lists of over 10,000 sites, and all that stored memory, it's a very expensive operation, so it's not ideal for those larger scale operations. And then finally, there's no approval process. This is kind of similar to the single user problem, but we kind of wanted to remedy these. So coming soon, we're actually working with MSIT. We're partnering with them to create a self-service portal, a web tool that addresses all these disadvantages, and have a few mock-ups. So later this month, we're planning to pilot this tool with a bunch of close partners. So if you're interested, please reach out to me. I'd love to get your feedback. And even if not, any requests or anything that you think would, any scenarios you'd like us to accommodate, I'd be happy to hear. But so just really quickly, these mockups show how you can create a request for each site. You can determine many of the fields that were in the tool. You can also store metadata as to like the reason that you're making changes, who's making changes, and there are also user roles that would be attached to this. So for instance, this page might be only used by the app owners, the site developers. And then in the next page, you would have an administrator or a group manager who would look through all these requests and make sure that they work. And then finally, you can get a nice view like this here where you're tracking a bunch of different sites for your enterprise, and you can kind of track where they are in the process. You can roll back between production and test lists. So it's a very simple way to manage your site list at a very scalable approach. So more details on that are coming forward soon.
We promised to finish on time. I've got 1:45. Our guidance to you is you can upgrade your web apps to modern standards, but we didn't want to force you to upgrade on our schedule. You should be able to use Internet Explorer 11 for backward compatibility for the life of Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. But you can use Microsoft Edge as a safer, faster, more productive browser and just fall back to IE11 for those sites that need enterprise mode or other older document modes. Now, we have some resources on the slides. This is, I think, the last session on the browser, but all of these are recorded, so you can go back and view some of these. We also have some online resources for you, including a link to how you can enable site discovery and upgrade analytics that Josh showed you earlier. So we really appreciate your time. We're happy to stay after and answer any questions. Hopefully this session was useful for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.